Thank you, brother. Once again, it's a joy to be with you again tonight at the mission. We trust the Lord will bless his word to all our hearts. If you have a Bible with you, would you turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs, in chapter 1. And tomorrow night's my last night, and then the Reverend Gordon Dane will be here on Sunday night. Now, you encourage the folks to come along tomorrow night. I was telling the folks last night, I mentioned our brother, the late Pastor Ivan Thompson. Ivan was a real character, and he was preaching a gospel mission many years ago in Shankill Baptist, up the top of the Shankill Road in Belfast, and he had leaflets to distribute. Now, there was no photograph on the leaflets. It was just a black and white leaflet, and Ivan took them down to one of the gentlemen in the church. He owned a shop on the Shankill Road, and Ivan took all the leaflets down. The gentleman said he would distribute them. Anybody came into the shop, he would give them a leaflet to come to the meeting. So Ivan went down on the Monday morning, takes the leaflets with him, and just as he's standing in the shop, a couple of the dear ladies from the Shankill Road come in, and Ivan says, "Here, missus," he says, "there's a wee invitation for you." And the wee woman looked at it, and she read it. She says, "Pastor Ivan Thompson." Then she says, "Is he any good?" And Ivan says, "Good." He says, "He's the best preacher I've ever heard in my life." So the two ladies came the next night to the mission. And when they went to the door, they shook hands with Ivan. They just said, "You're a real gag. You're a comedian." But they really enjoyed his words. So you tell them whatever you like, but ask them to come along tomorrow night and then again on the Lord's Day. We're going to read from Proverbs chapter 1. We commence our reading at verse 20. The word of God says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, and in the city she uttereth her word, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Amen. And again, may God stamp with his own divine approval the public reading of his word. Let's just bow briefly again in prayer and ask God's help in the ministry of his word. Our loving God and our eternal Father in heaven, we thank and praise thee again tonight for thy presence already with us. We thank thee, Lord, for the hymns of Zion that we have been singing together. We thank thee, Lord, for the special ministry and song. And we thank thee again tonight, Lord, for that fountain filled with precious blood that washes us and cleanses us whiter than the driven snow. And Lord, we just pray now as we turn again to thy word that you will shelter us beneath the precious blood. Pour out thy spirit upon us, lead us and guide us into all truth. And grant tonight that someone within the hearing of our voice may hear, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. that they might hear, that they might turn and seek the Lord, and they might find life everlasting in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, shut us in with thyself now. Pour out your Spirit upon us and do us good. For we ask all these things in the Savior's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Now, most of these Proverbs, as you know, were written by Solomon, the man who asked wisdom of God, and God gave him wisdom that he might rule over his people well. And God blessed him, and he had many, many things. He had great possessions. He had great wealth. He had great fame. And he had much of this world's goods. But in this wonderful book of Proverbs, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And even as it were in the opening verses, he tells us the reason why these proverbs, these pithy sayings, are penned, that men and women may fear the Lord, because it is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord leads to life. In Proverbs, there are many, many comparisons, and they're sometimes called practical proverbs, and just in a verse or two sums up a great truth, a great theme, a great subject that brings wisdom and help and guidance for you and for me. In the 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs, it's all about wisdom. And it starts off, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice?" But as you read through the chapter, you find that when Proverbs is speaking about wisdom, it is in reality speaking about the highest, as it were, intellectual wisdom, and what men call the sagacity and moral character, and it's perfectly fulfilled in one person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in Proverbs chapter 8, in verse 22, it says, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old." He says, "I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth." And so we realize that wisdom personified is in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A lovely verse away back in the second book of Samuel, chapter 14 and verse 14. I always think about it when I think about the plan of salvation and the way of salvation. It says, "We must needs die, and we are as water spilt upon the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person. Listen, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him." God devises a means. God devises a way of salvation that men and women who were lost in sin, who were dark in sin and nature's night and ought to be banished from God's holy presence for all eternity, God devised the means whereby his banished be not expelled from him. And as we're thinking tonight, particularly from verse 20 onwards of Proverbs chapter 1, where it says, "Wisdom crieth without," I want to speak to you tonight about wisdom's call, or the call of the gospel of Christ. You see, God in the Trinity of his sacred persons has devised a means, a way of salvation whereby sinners can be saved. And in the first epistle of Paul to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17, speaking about our God, it says, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And then in the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, again in chapter 1 and in verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Speaking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. And then in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 and in verse 30, speaking about Jesus, it says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." So when we come back to Proverbs and we read these words, "Wisdom crieth without," we are reading about the gospel of God, the only wise God, the gospel through the power of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom, the Holy Ghost, and God's Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of whom Paul says He has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. And so I want to think with you tonight, first of all, about what I have called the compassion of this call. The Bible says, "Wisdom crieth without." And I think as you read that little word, "crieth," you realize that this is something that is filled with passion. It's not just a take it or leave it, but it is someone who is concerned, and wisdom is crying without and calling unto men and women. Now, even in this chapter, Solomon says in verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Thank God for every man or woman or young person in this meeting tonight. And we had been born into a Christian home. And God, in His mercy and in His compassion, in the call of the gospel, we received parental training. And we were exhorted in the things of God. And even as the world around us would call us to come with them, Solomon says here, verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Oh, if sinners say to thee, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause." Oh, he says, don't you cast in your lot with them. He says, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." Thank God for the faithful instruction of parents, mothers, and fathers who have sought to bring up their children in the fear and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But you'll notice the Bible says in verse 20, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse." So even in the streets, as the Word of God goes forth, in the providence of God, in open-air meetings, in men and women witnessing to the saving grace and the keeping power of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the distribution of gospel tracts, in the things that happen day by day, God's voice can be heard. And then, of course, it says there in verse 23, "Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I'll make known my words unto you." The Bible says that this call, I have said the compassion of this call in the home, in the providence of God and the happenings in the streets, in the very gates, the Bible says, of the cities, And then through the public declaration of the word of God, turn you at my reproof. Wisdom crieth without in the city. She uttereth her words. And you'll notice to whom she calls in verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? Now the word simple there, it speaks about a weak person. It speaks about a person who would be easily led. A person who, perhaps under peer pressure, as Solomon is calling out to his son here, don't you be casting in your lot with the sinners. Don't you be going in the way the sinners want you to go. Don't you be going to get up to mischief and to sin and wickedness and violence. And it says, how long, ye simple ones, people who are weak and who are easy led. Thank God, God doesn't want them to be led astray. God in compassion says, how long, ye simple ones, how long, ye weak ones. And then you'll notice it says there, will you love simplicity, in verse 20, and ye scorners, delight in their scorning. You know, sometimes as God's people, we may have sympathy for the weak and for those who would be easily led astray. But when we see the scorners, it gets, as it were, our hackles up, and we don't want. But my God loves them also. And God says, ye scorners, the wayward, those who are delighting in the pleasures of sin, those who delight in their scorning and even in their mockery. Why doesn't the psalmist say in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way with sinners, nor sitteth down in the seat with the scorners. These are wayward. They're scorners, but my God, in his love and in his mercy and his grace, he stretches out the hand. And then it says, the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. God sends a message to the weak. He sends a message to the wayward. He sends a message to the men we would describe as the worthless. They hate knowledge. They don't want to know the word of God. They don't want to hear the message of salvation. They don't want to hear about a Savior who stepped out of the ivory palaces of glory and came into this world of woe and lived a perfect, sinless, faultless life and then poured out his soul unto death on the old rugged cross. They don't want to hear. But yet God and his love and in his compassion, he says, wisdom, the gospel, Jesus calls. I was telling the folks last night, I was talking to Brother James, that we were talking about a man, I think it was in the Second World War, but he was an American, he was a businessman, he was a very, very wealthy man, and he wanted to do something for the servicemen who were going into battle, and he was a Christian. And so for all the servicemen, he got them some things, just as you have in your shoebox appeal. But he sent the men a shaving razor and a mirror. But on the mirror it says, you're looking at the one God loved, John 3:16. And he enclosed a little testament as well. Thank God tonight, God loves the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. And salvation full at highest cost, he offers free to all. I have preached the gospel of Christ for years in the open air. I've met all sorts and all classes and different kinds of people. And the thing that motivates you and keeps you going is just that God loved them. They may look to be worthless as far as this world is concerned. They may be scorners, So dear man came to the open air week after week after week, and he was an atheist, and he professed atheism, and every time I finished preaching, he would have an argument with me. Now, he said to me one day, he says, "Fred, why do you never fall out with me? You always talk to me and you treat me nice and you smile." I says, "I'll tell you why. Because I want you to be standing here at the city hall beside me, giving your testimony and telling how you came from atheism to Christ." And one of the days we were there, and it just so happened that that was on a Friday. On the next Sunday, I was preaching in the Martyrs' Church, and I looked down, and there he was. In the martyrs, he come to hear the word of God. My, thank God tonight for the compassion of the call. We used to sing in the children's meeting, "See means children, all may come. O means old folk, no more young. M means middle age, mom and dad. E means everybody, good or bad. You are invited. I am invited. We are invited. Come to Jesus and live." But I want you to notice not only the compassion of this call that goes forward, but you'll notice the contents of the call in verse 23. And you'll notice it says, "Turn you at my reproof." At my reproof. That's what's needed today. God calls the gospel preacher to reprove men and women, to tell them that sin is wrong, that sin will, as we said last night, take them farther than they want to go, that the wages of sin is death, but only the gift of God is eternal life. The great prophet of God, Ezekiel, God told him to go and to warn the wicked, to warn the wicked. He says, "Ezekiel, if you go and you warn the wicked and he doesn't turn from his wicked way, then," he says, "his blood will I require off his hands. But Ezekiel, if you don't go and you don't warn them and you don't reprove them," he says, "Ezekiel, his blood will I require at your hand." And that's why we pray, "O God, deliver us from blood guiltiness. Help us to tell men and women that sin is a reproach, that sin will damn their soul in a lost eternity. People think I can live whatever way I please. And they go through this world and they think I can drink, I can smoke, I can gamble, I can be immoral, I can curse, I can swear, I can blaspheme, and I can just live whatever way they..." Well, they can. But remember, God says, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And God will call men and women to account. And as we said last night, it was old General Booth who said the time would come when they would preach a gospel without repentance and a heaven without a hell. And the Bible says here, "Turn you at my reproof." So the Bible says the preaching of the gospel, it reproves men and women because of their sin, and it calls them to repentance. It calls them to turn, to turn. "Turn ye, O turn ye, for why will ye die?" saith the Scriptures. And men and women are careering down the road to a lost eternity. And whether they're on the clean side of the broad road, as we talk about, or the filthy side of the broad road, the destination is the same. And that's why we call men and women to turn and seek the Lord, to change that direction, to turn your back upon sin and wickedness and seek the Lord. And you notice the Bible says there, "I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will pour out my spirit unto you." When men and women hear the gospel of Christ and they are suitably reproved for their sin and they want to repent of their sin, God says he will pour out his spirit when Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Nicodemus was a good man. He was a very, very religious man. He was a master in Israel. He was a ruler of the Jews. And he was a very rich man. He was a very religious man. But he wasn't saved. And he asked the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came to Jesus by night. You know the story. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. You must be born from above. You were born into this world, and you were born into this world a sinner. The Bible says the wicked are estranged from the womb. God is not in their thoughts. And Nicodemus, because you were born a sinner, you need to be born again. I love the way the hymn writer puts it. Hymn writer says, born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. How do we understand these things? Look at the end of the verse. I will make known my words unto you. That's revelation. That's the revelation of this book from Genesis to Revelation. The 66 books of Holy Scripture. God breathed and God given. God gave us a revelation of Himself, of His way of salvation, of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God tonight we have the written word of God, and that written word points us to the living word, the one who was called in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the writer of Proverbs here says, I will make known my words unto you. So that's why Paul says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul says, how can they hear if they haven't got a preacher? And how can the preacher preach except he be sent? And so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the gospel. The men and women realize they're a sinner. They accept they are a sinner. They realize they cannot save themselves. They turn from their sin. They call upon God for mercy. And they receive Jesus Christ into their heart and life as their own and personal Savior. So there's the compassion of the call, and there's the contents of the call. But let me tell you, friend, tonight, here's the tragedy. Here's the calamity of this call. Verse 24 says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Ye have set at naught my counsel and you would not of my proof. God says, I have given the gospel. I have given heaven's best. God gave his only begotten Son to come into the world, the one who knew no sin, that we who were sinners might be made the righteousness of God in him. But God says, I have stretched out my hand, and you haven't regarded. He says, I have called you, and you refused. He says, you've set, as it were, to one side, you've set at naught my counsel, and you wouldn't take on board in your life my reproof. But God says there's consequences. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. God says there's coming a time when there will be no more opportunity. Verse 28, the Bible says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, and shall not find me. There's a terrible tragedy. As we mentioned that verse of Scripture, God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. In this book of Proverbs 29:1, it says, he being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Friend, while God's Spirit bids you come, sinner, do no longer roam. Let's just seal your hopeless doom. You've got to be in time. And it's possible to step over the dead line. There is a line unseen by man that crosses every path. It is the boundary between God's mercy and his wrath. There was an old infidel by the name of Ingersoll, and he preached against God, preached his atheism. And one day a dear woman heard him speak in London, and she was greatly grieved because he challenged Almighty God. He said, if there's a God in heaven, let him strike me down in 5 minutes. And then he went on to talk about there's no God, no Jesus, no salvation. And then he says, look at the time, 5 minutes have passed, there's no God. And that woman is greatly troubled, for she loved the Lord. She went to her pastor, his name is Dr. Joseph Parker. He was a contemporary of Mr. Spurgeon. And he said, oh dear, he says, don't you worry. He says, does Ingersoll think that he can exhaust the patience of Almighty God in 5 minutes? He says, no, God is merciful. God is merciful. But there can come a time when God speaks for the final time and there will be no more opportunity. You notice again in verse 26, there will be no more sympathy. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and destruction as a whirlwind and distress and anguish cometh upon you. We sometimes sing the hymn, the great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. And thank God for the empathy, the sympathy, the love of God in Christ for sinners. But friend, men and women can step over that boundary line. And we're always fearful of that in a gospel mission. Remember being in meetings, gospel missions and good meetings, and we felt the presence of the Lord, and somebody would say, you know, how can people walk out in such a meeting? And we had to admit and say, well, maybe some of us did the same, but thank God and mercy we came to Christ eventually. But we're always afraid. And you notice verse 32, it says, the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. There's coming a day when there's no more opportunity, and there'll be no more sympathy, and there'll be no more prosperity. We have quoted that text a number of nights. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and should lose his own soul? And if there's men and women, and they're more interested in the things of this world and in the things of time and sense, and they want the pleasure and they want the pomp and they want the position and the power and the splendor and the things of this world more than the salvation of their soul, well, beware, friend, because the day can come when there will be no more prosperity. You'll lose it all. Job says, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom. What ransom is that? That's Calvary. A great ransom cannot deliver. The greatest ransom that ever was paid. And there'll be no more apathy. Because verse 26 says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Your fear cometh. Oh, the people who have despised the word of God and scorned the word of God and made fun of the gospel preacher. No time for God, His Word, His Son, His day, His gospel. On that day, they'll waken up. And as the scripture says, they'll call for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them and hide them from the face of the Lamb. You see, they despised, as verse 30 says, they despised all my reproof. Verse 29, they hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. In other words, they despised the Word of God and the gospel of God, and they chose deliberately, decided against it. Therefore, verse 32 says, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. They will be lost. If we had to end there, it would be a sad message. But just look at that last verse and the consolation of this call. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. O Solomon, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, presenting to men and women the call of the gospel, he says, whoso hearkeneth, whoso hears, whoso listens, whoso obeys that call, thank God, they dwell in safety and be quiet from the fear of evil. Those who hearken are saved, and they have a home that is steadfast and sure. They have an inheritance that is incorruptible and fadeth not away. We can sing, I have a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. Why? Because we were better than other people? No. Because we were good churchgoers? No. Because we were baptized? No. Because we gave into the church? No. None of these things. But because we realized that when Christ died, He took our sins upon Himself. He died for you. He died for me upon the cross. And we cried out like the hymn writer, nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. And we accepted the message of the gospel. We turned at God's reproof. We received the Word of God. We received the revelation that God had given us in His holy Word, the gospel of Christ. And we were born of the Spirit with life from above. Therefore, we will dwell safely. It is well with our soul. Friend, what about you? I don't know how many times you have heard the gospel, whether this is your first or maybe you've heard it many, many times. But friend, if you've never obeyed it and believed to the salvation of your soul and received the Lord Jesus Christ, John says, as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the